a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Thanks for coming this morning. My name is Russell Olson. I'm the Senate Majority Leader from Madison, South Dakota. With me is the Majority Leader of the House, Representative David Lust from Rapid City. Obviously, this week is busy with organizational things, getting to know our new members, and taking in the governor's State of the State address. From that, I think that it's completely fair of the governor to point out the other states that aren't doing as well with their finances. And, you know, one of the themes that the governor had for a State of the State is stewardship of South Dakota. And other states that haven't been doing as well and didn't make it through the tough times by making tough decisions like South Dakota had. And one of the things that, you know, we talked about, we looked at a lot of different avenues a few years ago when we made some very tough budget cuts, was, you know, the trust funds that South Dakota has. And why wouldn't we take and dip into those principles? You know, some suggested taking half of the 10% cuts out of our trust funds. You know, I did the analysis back then, and that would have taken until 2013 to get back to principal at our then averages for our returns. I'm happy to say that because we didn't touch the principal in those trust funds, in the last 5 months alone, we've generated $34 million worth of interest on our three trust funds in South Dakota. $34 million that can now be reinvested into programs that are working. Part of what we did during those tough times is look at programs that were working and reinvest into those. And then we also have taken the opportunity to look at things that aren't working in South Dakota and find out a new way to do those or get rid of them altogether. And I think that Leader Lust is going to talk about some of those things that was a 1-2 punch from the State of the State and the State of the Judiciary, and that was the Criminal Justice Initiative. And so we look forward to having your questions on that. Another thing that the governor touched on was workforce development and the South Dakota Wins Initiative, and we're looking forward to finding ways that we can enhance another program that's working for South Dakota, and that's to bring in 1,000 new employees to South Dakota to expand not only our tax base but our skilled labor force in South Dakota. I'll turn it over to Leader Lust.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Yeah, we've probably heard from the Democrats and certainly in the media all week about the state of the state and the things the governor talked about. I'd like to talk a little bit about the state of judiciary. As an attorney, I tend to take a little keener interest in that issue sometimes, and I think the Chief Justice always does a good job of highlighting what's going on the judiciary system. To me, what I took away from the state of the judiciary was something that I think we often forget, and that is how successful our Constitution has been over the years. I mean, the few amendments we've made, needed to make, and how it really functions well for our state. And also, picking up on the criminal justice piece, the criminal justice reform piece, I mean, that's going to be obviously a signature piece of legislation for the governor and for both sides of the aisle this year. Well thought out, developed product that involved all the stakeholders, and I'm excited for the prospects of really not just the financial side but also the personal side. I've attended drug court graduations in Sturgis, and it's really moving to see what these people have gone through and are going through. The fact that you can keep them involved with their families and their communities rather than sending them to a distant prison, it really has a meaningful impact on them personally. And then obviously the financial impact of not having to build more prisons by diverting nonviolent criminals to drug courts, the Hope courts, and the alcohol courts. And I thought something that, that I had not heard before, I thought was intriguing, was the concept, at least, of the veterans courts that the Chief Justice mentioned. I haven't really had a chance to flesh that out with him, but his statistics were compelling, and we all know some of those moving stories about veterans and the struggles they've had when they return from combat duty. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. And then, as well as more of the technical side, the e-filing and where we're going with e-filing in this state, certainly for practitioners and their clients, it'll be a very beneficial step in the right direction to take us into the electronic age and allow us to be much more efficient. So those things were critical. And then obviously from The Western perspective, the tourism tax issue that'll come up in the next couple of weeks, and the hopefully making permanent the half penny tax on tourism businesses, I think will have dramatic impact on the Department of Tourism's ability to market South Dakota tourism over the long haul. And finally, this is all under the umbrella of what the federal government didn't do. We know what they have done on the tax side. What remains to be seen is what they do on the cost-cutting side, and that's coming. Unfortunately, it's going to come at a time that is not opportune for the legislature, just as we're finishing our appropriations bill. Hopefully, at least, the federal government will be addressing the spending side of things. So that remains to be seen how that will impact not only this session, but what happens for the remainder of the year. With that, I think we're happy to take any questions you may have.
Senator Olson, you guys mentioned the tourism tax, and when that came up 2 years ago, if I recall correctly, the Senate didn't get over the two-thirds threshold, and there was a ruling that wasn't necessary. Do you think that there's enough votes in the Senate this year to get over that two-thirds?
Well, as you know, David, we had our legislative procedures meeting as part of our organizational meetings this week, and we changed the rules on sunsetting and adding taxes. So, I mean, it's going to take a two-thirds vote, and so I think that the confidence in that, Senator Brown, I think, has agreed to carry that piece of legislation, and so he's fairly confident that he can get two-thirds, and I look forward to that discussion.
I would just add to that, David, I think that that's an appropriate the way this tourism tax is coming into place is to me is appropriate approach to tax policy. It started out as a sunset 2 years ago or 4 years ago. That was renewed, and now the step to move it permanent to me makes sense after we've seen the benefits of that of those revenues from that extra tax and the benefit that our tourism and general businesses receive as a result of that marketing promotion. So to me it's a prudent approach to tax policy.
One issue that should have come up is economic development, and at the moment the state has no established program for large project incentives. What do you see happening on that?
I think we were just talking outside. That's something that Senator Olson and I are going to spend a considerable amount of time on. Obviously, we'll involve and engage early the leadership on the Democrat side. But you're right. You rightfully pointed out that we have a gap in incentives. And when you look at the incentives available from surrounding states, we're really at a disadvantage when it comes to recruiting and to a large degree retaining businesses. And so we need to have some arrows in the quiver when it comes to economic development. And I'm hopeful that the two of us and the leadership on the Democrat side will be able to bring a package forward that contains elements of not only what was unsuccessful at the ballot box, but other components as well.
Yeah, keep in mind, Chet, that the past recipients of the refunds for the contractor's excise tax, 85% of those went to ag-based projects, whether it be ethanol plants or dairies or other ag service, production, meat processing facilities. Those were the recipients, wind, energy. To cut us off at the knees for large projects for 15% that arguably may or may not have been the desired recipients of those refunds, I think that's the starting point as we look at the 85% that benefit from it and work with our colleagues across the aisle to find a way to incentivize large projects in South Dakota.
Just to follow up, is that kind of incentive for large projects crucial in your mind?
I think it is. It is crucial. When you look at the recruitment of businesses and the retention of businesses, the disadvantage we have compared to our neighboring states, I think that is crucial. To say that it's going to be the driving factor for any company to come here, it probably is not accurate. But in the discussions I've had with people in the industry, it certainly plays a role at the end of the decision-making process when they're deciding between a state that's offering significant incentives in some cases and a state that's not. It absolutely has the ability to tip the scales in favor of the state that offers some sort of incentive.
Readers around the state, but I was wondering if you could tell me the leadership's thoughts on firearm access legislation that may or may not be introduced.
And the question was leadership's position on the multiple potential for multiple pieces of legislation with firearm access, and I don't know as if we've taken a leadership position on it. I think that we have a historical position between David and I on the Second Amendment, and we'll continue to work to fight towards those rights. But, you know, we're going to see, and you've already heard about, and it's a great question, you know, probably half dozen different pieces of legislation. I understand some of those folks are working towards a mini compromise amongst themselves, both Democrats and Republicans, that are trying to ferret this out before a bill's even introduced. And the way I see that is, if something is going to happen, you know, we both fear reaction legislation where it's a knee jerk. You know, the only thing that happens fast is an accident, and so we want to respond responsibly or to this issue, and, you know, putting it back in local control is one of the things I think is going to be a necessary ingredient for effective legislation on that end.
And I would agree with what Russ said. This is a complex issue. I mean, you've got a mental health component, mm-hmm. you've got a gun control component. I don't anticipate there being many pieces of legislation regarding gun control. I think what you'll see regarding specifically and primarily in response to the Newtown tragedy is a movement toward allowing local school districts, local government entities to make some decisions as to what's appropriate for their schools and for their communities. So that's where I see that going. I've not read any of the legislation yet, but I know that'll be a significant component.
One issue I've heard talked about, and I don't know if this will actually be introduced or not, but reflects of the Capitol itself, is a bill regarding lawmakers being allowed to carry concealed weapons into the Capitol, which I understand is not currently allowed. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, that's interesting you brought that up, because I've had that discussion with several legislators, and I say, you know, we would not be the main target in this building. We're interlopers here for 2 months. I mean, the reality is, I believe we're the only state capitol in the country that has the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch under one roof, where there's essentially very little security. I know many states, they're separate. The judiciary may be in a separate building, but yeah. That's an issue that we can discuss. But I've told folks in my caucus that, you know, I'm more concerned, frankly, about the Chief Justice and the Supreme Court Justice and the Governor than I would be about ourselves in that regard. So, but those discussions, we started those last year, and there's some merit into some components of it. I'm not sure how it'll evolve, but that's certainly the discussions out there. And, of course, you know, I'm not sure we would ever want senators carrying guns.
Do we have any questions from callers on the phone?
Very good.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.